Hello and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune and this is part two of Vampire Breath by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. To keep up with continuity, Nick is here again.
Woo! Yeah, Nick.
Yeah. And we'll see how it goes. We were trying to discuss what was happening previously, but neither of us had that clear of an idea. And yeah, that time was really fun. We went afterwards to go see a comedy show, but had a few beers first. And it was the worst comedy show ever. The headliner was Brad Williams, the midget that's on the Adam Carolla show and Loveline and a bunch of other shit all the time, where he's genuinely kind of funny, but he just did the hackiest jokes in the world. It's like, anyone out there have a penis? And then the two openers were just like hack on hack crime, and it was just horrible. And then we came back here and just got shit ripped till way late, and then I had to go to work in the morning, and Nick had to go do construction in the morning.
It was horrible. I never knew comedy could be so not funny
before. Yeah.
And there's a bunch of idiots all laughing, like, dumbasses, and me and Dune staring at each other wondering, well, at least me, wondering if there's something wrong with us, or if this is really the least funny thing in the world. And bad comedy is bad.
Yeah. To be fair, though, this is a weird, obscure art form we're doing right now, so maybe it is us, because, you know, no one before me had done the bootleg audiobooks with commentary thing.
Yeah,
which is
here.
Thank you. And then I've been so busy. I finally got back to Facebook messages on the Dune Reads Goosebumps today, and I'll get back to the emails and the button shipping when I can. I had Comic-Con, and then I was in Mexico. But the biggest news, which Nick may not know because he's not on social media, because he's off the grid.
Yeah.
I got engaged.
What?
Did you not know that?
No.
I got engaged, yeah.
Connie proposed to you?
Oh, pish posh. I proposed to Connie. I was very serious and traditional. I bought a ring in February that was custom made. But it was like, you know, to her specifics. It wasn't like me just pulling some design out of my ass. It was a company she really liked in Canada called Flying Fox. I'll give them a shout out because they did a custom ring. I realized it was the most expensive thing I'd ever purchased in my life.
Oh, which, wow. It should be.
And yeah.
Connie deserves it.
When we were in Baja last weekend, just south of Rosarito on the private beach I was just explaining to you all about, the first night, fucking went down there at goddamn sunset and shit.
Wow.
On a private beach in Mexico, and it was fully serious and not douchey at all, which is new and surprising to me.
Yeah.
And she was totally surprised, had no idea, but look, there's a picture.
Oh my gosh. You're proposing.
Yeah.
Dune's on one knee. He's got his Adidas flip-flops on.
Yeah, that was a mistake. I didn't think that one through, that I was wearing Adidas. Like, not even flip-flops, like slides.
There's some parachuters in the back.
No, there isn't.
Beautiful, I think so.
No, it's palm trees.
Okay.
It's the top of palm trees. But I was still douchey. Look at this other picture from the same thing of me hugging her and giving a douchebag thumbs up.
Oh, yep. There's the Dune douchey thumbs up.
But I was dead serious. I did everything, so I'm engaged. I'm a fiance now, Nick, which
is awesome.
Despite the connotation being so heterosexual, is one of the faggiest words ever.
No, but wow, yeah. I'm shocked and happy.
Yeah, she got a ring on. It's tired.
What's a Connie ring like? Does it have a big spider on it instead of a diamond?
No, it's white gold with nice. Like Labradorite and moonstone and shit, and then I already have the matching wedding band that goes with it as a combination.
So it was more expensive than the grill you bought for yourself in 2006, is what you're saying.
The grill, which is, I think, sitting back there in that cabinet, it was like $150. The wedding ring was much, much more.
Yeah, about $18 more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, believe it or not, drinking a Steel Reserve. My second one, and it's not noon. All right, I'm just going to dive into this. Actually, I should probably save it, because we did an intro, and I'm not going to have you, you know, I actually surprised you by telling that the first time, but I don't want to have to do it again, and you to be like, oh, cool, oh my god, Pigeon Camaro. So I'm going to stop this, and I'll start the recording. Namaste. La da 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 day, chapter number 14, yeah. The coffin lids raised up slowly. I could see pale hands pushing them from inside, criggity-iggity creaking. The lids swung open, then stopped. Kara and I huddled together, unable to move, unable to take our eyes off the terrifying sight. I heard low moans and groans as the vampire started reading this book. Just kidding, they sat up. Bony hands gripped the sides of the coffin. I heard coffin, because it says coughing, but those words are similar. Dry throats being cleared. The vampires pulled themselves up slowly. Their faces were yellow in the moonlight. Ooh, Asian vampires. Their eyes gleamed dully, a pale silver. Groans echoed off the high walls. Hey, you can hang out with those walls because you guys get along because you like getting high. Bones creaked and cracked. Uh-oh. They looked so old, like ant old. Older than the oldest people you see on the street. Yeah, they're vampires. Their skin appeared so thin and was wrapped so tight you could see the bones underneath, like Bowie when he was heavily into cocaine. Living skeletons, I thought. Their ancient bones snapped as they moved. They invented popping and locking them around. Terrible joke. Oh! They pulled themselves up. Legs, thin as spider legs, reached open over the coffin sides. Kara and I moved. We backed into the deep shadows against the wall. I heard more coughing from the coffin. Just kidding.
Coffin.
Yep. Near the window, a white-haired vampire leaned over the edge of his coffin, making ugly, choking sounds. So thirsty, I heard one of them whisper. That's going to be my advertising campaign for Steel Reserve.
So thirsty Thursday.
Mm-hmm. So thirsty. So thirsty, others repeated. They lowered themselves from their coffins, stretching and groaning. So thirsty, they chanted. Their voices were dry and raspy, as if their throats were sore, as if their voices were only air. What does that mean? They were all dressed in black, formal black suits. By the way, I made the observation a while ago and posted it on the old Twitter, where I'm at Dune, that when you're a teenager and you're super depressed, you show it to the world by wearing all black. But when you're an adult and you're severely depressed, you show it to the world by wearing things with elastic bands.
Mm. I see.
Similar.
You're only 50% elastic right now. So.
To be fair, I'm lazy. I haven't been taking a shower or anything today.
Cup is half full.
Yeah. I swam twice yesterday. It's like showers. White shirt collars stiff and high above their chins. Some of them wore long, shiny capes. They adjusted their capes with bony, white fingers, sweeping them back over bent, skinny shoulders. So thirsty. So thirsty. Their silver eyes glowed brighter as they began to wake up.
Grab a brush, put a little makeup.
I just got a bit away the shake up.
Why'd you leave the keys above the table?
You wanted to. And then, standing in the aisle between the two rows of coffins, they began to flap their bony arms. Slowly at first, their arms creaked as they pulled them up, then down, like the Tin Man. Their silver eyes glowed in the pale old feces. It says faces. I don't know why I thought that would be funny. It wasn't. Up, then down. Up. Then down. They flapped their arms faster, groaning and grunting. The sound echoed off the walls and the high ceiling.
Up and down, fapping?
Yep. Fapping faster now. Fapping! Fapping! But no oomph! No relief! So thirsty! No liquid in their bodies! As Kara and I gaped in amazement, the sickly, groaning old men began to shrink. The flapping arms became the flutter of black wings. Oh, they're turning into bats. like in Batwing Hall. That's a callback. The red eyes glowed from rodent-like faces. I thought their eyes were silver. In seconds, they shrank and transformed. They all became fluttering black bats. God, R.L. Stein should sue Animorphs. And turned their red eyes to Kara and me. People keep telling me to read Animorphs and the recent Goosebumps and the Horrorland series, and I'm like, dude, I've done hundreds of goddamn Toon Reads Goosebumps episodes. Leave me alone. I don't make any money on Candlelight. Fuck you guys. But seriously, I don't know what I'm doing when I finish. What should I do?
Definitely not Animorphs.
When I finish, though, it's like, I'm getting, like, married. I'll probably, like, fill her with a kid with my dick. Mm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, is it still appropriate time to get shit ripped and fucking yell about? I don't know. I'm old. I just turned 29, what, a week and a half ago. Whatever.
The answer will come to you clear as a vision.
And thanks for all your birthday gifts, jabronis that listen to this. Oh, wait, you didn't send any. It's okay, I didn't notice. Idiots. Chapter number fucking 15. Did they see us? Didn't it just say their eyes were on you? Do you know how eyes work, idiot? Could they see us in this deep darkness? Our backs pressed against the stone wall. Because you put your back against something and then all of a sudden you're invisible. I learned that. It's good science. The bats fluttered up over the open coffins. Their flapping wings glistened silvery in the moonlight. So the eye color went into the wings. I heard a rattling. Oh, maybe one's a baby vampire. That's even scarier. Like the warning sound of a snake. But the rattling quickly became a hiss. That's what the actual warning sound of a snake is. It just sounds like a hiss. I heard it once in the wild and it scared the fuck out of me. The bats opened their mouths, revealing pointy yellow fangs, and hissed. They should have brushed their teeth. What a sound! A shrill, angry whistle that rose higher and higher until it drowned out the patter of their fluttering wings. A hiss of attack. They were awake. And ready now. Ready to swoop at me. To knock me to the floor. To dig those pointed fangs deep into my skin and drink. And drink like some sort of evil Dune. Rather than Dune, who's not really evil and not really good. Like, you know, like the phrase that people always say of, like, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Yeah. I fucking hate that phrase. That's one of my most hated things. So I'm like, no. I'm not part of the solution, and I'm not part of the problem. Just leave me be. You know, I'm going to pick up Franklin's shit, but I'm not picking up some other dog's shit. That's gross.
It's very agnostic of you.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. I'm like, but I'm not, like, all I want is for everyone to be happy, but I'm not going to go out of my way to do too much, and I'm definitely not going to try to inconvenience anyone. You know, I don't like that mentality. How did I get to that?
I'm trying to figure out, piece it together, how we got here.
But I don't know either. Something about, and drink. I guess I just think
of... I didn't know the bats did the drinking. I thought the human version...
I thought that's how they, like, snuck in places.
The bats wouldn't really be able to drink very much with their tiny little bodies and stuff.
Yeah, and don't they lap things up like a dog? Isn't it kind of cute? I know that they have, like, the fangs on these ones, but, like...
You should get a pet bat.
Don't even encourage Connie. She will get a pet bat, and we have too many pets. We're already breaking the law of the complex in Evan 3.
So what's a little bat gonna do?
Freddy! Kara cried. She raised her hands in front of her to shield her face. Frenny! The shrill hissing surrounded me, seemed to be coming from inside my head. I covered my ears, trying to shut it. Covered my ears, watched their red eyes glowing and shit, and waited for the attack. But to my shock, the hissing bats didn't swoop towards us. They fluttered up, up! Turned and flapped into a line out the open window at the end of the room. See, now it's everyone else's problem. The end. My mouth hung open like a slack-jawed yokel. I realized I had stopped breathing. I watched them fade into the moonlight, shiny wings fluttering rapidly. The shrill hissing faded with them. Then I took a deep breath. Not a vampire breath, just a human breath. And slowly let it out. Kara, I whispered. We're okay. They didn't see us back here.
Ah, leaning up against the wall.
Yeah, because they all looked at him, but they didn't see him.
I played Metal Gear Solid. I know how it works.
I don't like any game that's stealth. I got, like, on free PlayStation Plus Hitman and just ran out and shot people, and they're like, you're terrible at Hitman.
I kind of see where you're coming from on the stealth games. Yeah. Frustrating.
I don't like it. I don't want to wait. I just want to kill. Yes. She nodded, but didn't reply. A thick strand of her black hair had become matted to her forehead. She brushed it back with a trembling hand. Whoa, she muttered, shaking her head. Whoa! We're okay, I repeated. My eyes checked out the long room. The open coffin stretched to the window.
To the walls.
And the sweat dripped off the vampire's balls. That's why they're so thirsty. Their dark wood gleamed in the moonlight.
Some electrolytes.
they need some potassium. They should have a banana. Their long shadows crept along the floor. We're okay now, I repeated to Kara. We're all alone. We just submitted the world to a bunch of vampires. We're okay. Footsteps behind us made us both cry out. I heard a throat being cleared. I spun around so hard I nearly toppled over because I'm some sort of tardo who has no balance. Count Nightwing strode into the room, carrying a flaming torch. The torchlight flickered over his smooth face. His silvery eyes were wide with surprise. Oh, he's the only vampire that isn't Asian. That's why he stands out. What are you two doing here? That's the worst vampire voice in the world.
Sounds like Dad.
What are you two doing here? He demanded. I opened my mouth to reply, but a sputtering, choking sound was all I forced out. You do not belong here, the vampire boomed. He waved the fiery torch in front of him. It left a trail of orange light as he swung it. As we were all on Molly, it looked tight. You have no right to be here. This is my home, and this is my castle.
Wait. They're in his time right now. In the past.
Oh, did they time travel? You were saying that, and I think I forgot about it. But then again, it makes sense, because they went in that little... Okay, they went in the room in the house, went to one long room, there's one coffin, spilled some vampire breath, he woke up. So now we're back in time like Army of Darkness.
Correct.
He floated off the floor. His eyes suddenly glowed as brightly as the torch flame. You do not belong here, he repeated menacingly like some douchebag minimum wage security guard. But, I stammered like they say in every Goosebumps book. Frightened and angry and confused all at the same time. Welcome to being a teenager, idiot. But you brought us here, Kara protested angrily. She waved her finger at him like a sassy woman of color, accusing him. We didn't follow you. She's right! I finally found my voice. You promised us you would go away and leave us alone, but you brought us back to your castle with you, stupid idiot jerk. Still floating a few feet above the floor, Count Nightwing held the torch in one hand and rubbed his frail-looking chin with the other. He muttered. Damn it, the frail-looking chin, I should have made a Harlan Williams joke, and I didn't.
Next time.
He murmured. His eyes glowed at us. You have to send us home, Kara told him, pressing her hands against her waist. This is my new Back to the Future reboot where he's a vampire, like the Doc, and he just sends Marty around. Yes, I agreed. Send us home now. Count Nightwing lowered himself silently to the floor. In the flickering torchlight, he suddenly looked weary. The light in his eyes dulled. He sighed. Just send us home, Kara insisted. We won't tell anyone we saw you. We'll just forget the whole thing happened. The old vampire brushed back his cape. He shook his head. I can't send you home, he whispered. Why not? I demanded. He sighed again. I don't know how. I just know how to count. One, two, no. Huh? Kara and I both gasped. I don't know how to send you home, Count Nightwing repeated. I'm a vampire, not a magician, huh?
Okay, you say vampire last week.
Oh, did I say vampire?
When he was speaking,
yes. I'm a vampire, not a magician, Captain Kirk. But, But I started to sputter again. Every Goosebumps book. My whole body shook in total panic. What are we going to do? Kara demanded shrilly. The old vampire shrugged again. It's really no problem, he replied softly. No problem at all. He went Italian again. God damn it. That's all I can do. I can do one voice and it's Mario-style Italian.
Sure, there's been an Italian vampire at some point in time. But...
Ooh, yeah, an Italian vampire in Paris.
Yeah.
As soon as I find my fangs, I'll drink your blood, and I'll turn you both into vampires! That sounds like a good deal. I'd go for being a vampire if possible. You?
That ending could have been a little creepier, I think, instead of a jovial Italian.
I'm sorry, I'm not good at delivery, but I'm saying if you could be a vampire, yes or no?
If I could live for 500 years, no thanks.
I think I'd be down for 500, but immortality sounds like the worst. Plus, technology is getting so rad. You're not going to live 500 years when we're 10 years away from sex bots?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yep. Just spend 500 years with your first model sex bot.
Drinking its blood?
I don't know what you have to do.
I do like capes.
We just had to take a short break. So I could explain to Nick, after somehow Will Smith came up in conversation, how I was thinking about the biggest bitch lyric in all of rap, where in Get Jiggy With It, he says, Cuban cigar, I just bite it, it's for the look, I don't light it, where he imagines being so shallow that he has a cigar, but he would never smoke, he's a role model, but he just wants to look cool like he does smoke, so he just hangs out a cigar in his mouth like some sort of old Jewish comedian.
Leave Will alone.
Sorry. Chapter number 16. Ooh. Sorry, ladies, I'm engaged. But we want to go home. I screamed, like straight up bitch made bitch. We don't want to be vampires. Kara wailed, having never read Twilight. Yeah, this isn't fair.
At least, like,
I would, yeah, I'd put some thought into that. Oh, I can be a rad mythological creature, or I can just be some bitch made ass kid. This isn't fair. We helped you. Now you have to help us. The old vampire didn't hear us. In the flickering orange light from the torch, I saw his eyes go all dreamy like Mario Lopez. His whole body appeared to flicker in and out of the light.
The vampire breath,
he whispered. I need it now. Send us home now, Kara ordered him. I don't order old vampires. I mean it. Send us home. I balled my hands into fists. I felt so angry. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna fucking do?
I'm out with fists. You don't understand. I've watched like 3 fucking MMA fights. I know what's going on.
I mean, we helped him return to his castle. And now... And how was he going to pay us back? By biting our necks and turning us into rad-ass mythological beasts that can fly and turn into bats and fucking keep it real and for some reason fuck high schoolers for the rest of their life like the dude from Twilight. By keeping us here forever, I tried to imagine what it would be like living here in this castle, sleeping all day in a coffin. That is my dream.
I know, it sounds
cool. I want to live in a castle in Mexico and sleep all day in my coffin slash hammock.
Yeah, I know. You just want to drink malt liquor, lay with your girl, and chill there with her.
Yes, thank you. Rising up at night and turning into a bat, flying out night after night in search of necks to bite. Oh, sorry, I thought Earl Stein was just writing flows there. Forever. Just thinking about it made me shake in horror. I'll never complain about having to babysit Tyler Brown again, I decided. And then, the horrifying thought made my heart skip. I may never see Tyler Brown again. That's his one horrifying thought? He can't see the kid he babysits again? That's some weird pedophile shit. Okay, now it goes into or mom and dad, or any of my friends. Fuck, or the Lord of the Rings movies?
He doesn't have any friends.
Mm-mm.
Lord of the Rings obsession.
You've got to send us home, I cried to Count Nightwing. This time it had a space in it. Like it was too... I don't know why.
Every time you say Nightwing, I just think about the scrotum trick that might be called Batwing or Bat or some sort of...
You say scrotum trick like it's a normal thing that people use in conversation. You mean just like pulling your ball skin so it looks weird?
Yeah. Jack's pressing you do more than anybody else in my life, to be fair.
I have showed you my balls a lot, yes.
Sorry. Bat wings.
He was pacing back and forth in front of us now, the torchlight dipping and darting. He didn't pay any attention to us. I don't think he even remembered that Kara and I were in the room. Vampire breath, he repeated. I must find the vampire breath. Where is the bottle of vampire breath? I wondered. I was holding it in my hand when we opened it back in the little room. Sorry, I was burping. My eyes searched the floor. No sign of the little blue bottle. It must have disappeared when we traveled back in time, I realized. I totally forgot about the time travel. I'm glad that you got that. I wouldn't have noticed until that line. Why do you need it? Kara asked. The old vampire narrowed his eyes at her. When he is awake, a vampire needs vampire breath every day. That seems like a lot of work, he said softly. We cannot live by blood alone. Kara and I both stared at him, waiting for him to continue. Continue! That's how I pronounce continue. I need a drink.
Arlstein can't just invent new vampire rules. Like, oh, not only do they need human blood, but now they need this specific brand of vampire breath to also live.
It is fucked up when people change shit. Especially when they change it to be more nonsensical. Like, I like the original remake of Dawn of the Dead where James Gunn wrote it so the zombies ran until they started to decay and then they slowly shuffled when they got more decayed and old. Like, that makes sense. Using something that's fantastical in a scientific context. But this was just like, oh yeah, they also need this weird thing that only comes in bottles and I don't know where it comes from.
Hey, you don't ruin a good thing. The George Romero rules of zombies are the rules of zombies.
But there are rules of vampires. They have to be sparkly and they have to be handsome. And I have to... Never mind. Kara and I both stared at him, waiting for him to continue... I almost fucked it up again. We all live together, here in my castle, he explained in a hoarse, whispery voice. We live here so we can be happier. Wait, what? I mean, they're happy's not even there. God damn it. We live here so we can be close to our supply of vampire breath. We each have our own bottles. We guard them closely. So it's like a frat house, except for instead of bottles of, like, Bud Light, it's vampire breath. He sighed. But now I remember the supply was running low. I was down to my last bottle. I must find it. I must. But what does it do for you? I demanded. Dick stuff! Oh, sorry. Everything! Count Nightwing shouted. Vampire breath does everything for a vampire. It allows us to travel in time. It makes us invisible and reappear again. It keeps our skin smooth and clear. It gives us energy. It helps us sleep. It keeps our bones from drying out. It freshens our breath.
Also dick stuff.
Yeah, mostly dick stuff, though. They just live with a bunch of dudes just getting vampire weird with each other. Wow, I murmured, shaking my head. But how will it help you find your fangs? Kara demanded.
Vampire breath restores the memory, the vampire told her.
This is what Chinese people think that rhino horns do, by the way. Just all this rad shit.
When you live for hundreds of years, it's hard to remember things. The vampire breath will help me remember where I put my fangs.
Why don't you just put them in the same place every time so you don't forget them? I've had the same thing of chapstick now for like 6 months.
The forgetful vampire.
Fucking A. He spun around, his eyes locked on me.
The bottle, do you still have it?
I could feel the power of his silvery eyes. I could feel them burning into me, searching my mind. Nah, brah, I stammered. I ain't got shit. But it won't do you any good, Kara cried. We emptied it, remember? We emptied the whole bottle to get your ass back here. Count Nightwing shook his head impatiently.
That was in the future, he snapped. That was over 100 years in the future. This is 1880, remember? In 1880, the bottle is still full, but we can no longer own blacks.
My head was spinning. I leaned against the coffin and tried to make sense of what he was saying. The old vampire started to pace again, rubbing his chin thoughtfully. I hid the bottle somewhere, he muttered. I hid it so that the others couldn't find it and use it while I took my nap. But where? Where did I hide it? I must find it. I must. He spun away from us. His long, purple cape. I thought they all dressed in black.
It's so black, it's purple.
You know, yeah. Those,
blue-black type.
All right. I thought he was just into, like, prints pretty heavily. That's why he went to the future in the first place. His purple cape did some swirly shit behind him. The orange torchlight bounced ahead of him as he floated toward the doorway. There! There! He axed himself, shaking his head. A few seconds later, he vanished. Also, I think Yoda's shit, so I gotta clean that up. Kara and I were left alone with the rows of coffins in the long room. Kara sighed unhappily. Women, there's no making them happy. She motioned to the coffins. I hope I get one near the window, she joked. I like a lot of fresh air. What is she, some sort of Terry Gross fan?
You got that one?
No.
So, Fresh Air is a program on NPR hosted by Terry Gross. Forget it.
You're an intellectual.
No, Christ, no. A few seconds later, he vanished. Kara and I were alone with the rows of coffins. Oh, fucking A. God damn it, I already read that. I was still leaning against the nearest coffin. I stood up and slapped the side angrily with my hand. I'll believe this, I cried. I'm only 12, Kara moaned. I'm not ready to die and then live forever.
She's funny right now.
Yeah,
she's
what the hell?
Some humor in this dire situation.
I swallowed hard. You know what we have to do, don't you? I said softly. We have to find that vampire breath before Count Nightwing does. If he finds it first and gets his fangs back, we're doomed. You know that motherfucker's all bitey and shit. I don't agree, Kara replied sharply. I have a much better plan. A better plan? What is it? I demanded. I bet we'll find out what the plan is in Chapter 17, won't we? Woo! All right, that cat shit smells terrible. Chapter 17. Kara glanced to the doorway, then back to me. We have to get out of here, she said to the thief. What's your plan? I exclaimed. That's it? That's a plan?
Is that an All Along the Watchtower reference?
Yes. She nodded and raised a finger to her lips. Maybe if we run away from the castle, we can find help, she explained again. Because, you know, we'll most likely run upon someone that has time travel abilities that hasn't used them on themselves to time travel somewhere with fucking penicillin.
And they're wearing 90s kids' clothes in the year 1880.
Oh, they're hyper-color, so they can change them whenever they need
to.
Sure,
they got their Gecko Hawaii on.
I love Gecko Hawaii.
Very strange to anyone in 1880.
Maybe if we run away from the castle, we can find help. I already said that. If we stay here, we're doomed no matter what we do. If we stay here, we're in his power. The inside of his dick, that's what they meant. How is anyone going to help us? I argued. This is over 100 years ago. Remember? How will anyone outside the castle help us get back to the future? It said back home to the future, but I cut it out because I wanted to make fun of it. I don't know, Kara replied unhappily. I only know that if we stay here in this creepy castle, we don't stand a chance.
Isn't the future date coming up pretty soon from Back to the Future 2?
Yep.
October. Or something?
Yep. I opened my mouth to argue some more. Hi, Franklin. But I couldn't think of anything else to say. Kara was probably right. Our only chance was to escape. I would have gotten the vampire thing. Come on, she whispered, but didn't indicate where I should come on. She grabbed my hand and started to pull me along the rows of coffins. Just on one of these coffins, or something with you, or never mind. We'll figure this out once we get out of the castle. I held back. Where are we going? She pointed. To the window! Let's see if we can climb out. The room was as long as our school gym. We don't know how long their gym is. That's not a good indicator, R.L. Stein. That's very specific. Hey, we had to walk the distance between McDonald's and Arby's. We don't know your town, R.L. Stein.
It could be, like, you know, the length of a basketball court, maybe. Might be how long a gym is.
Yeah, but Olympic basketball or street hoops.
Okay,
good. Exactly.
Point. I know you know your street hoops basketball, so I'll back down.
We walked quickly between the two rows of coffins. I couldn't take my eyes off the old wooden coffins. Vampires sleep in them. Those were the words that floated through my mind as we hurried past them. Kara and I may soon sleep in them too. You have to get your own. You can't just bunk up with someone. This isn't prison. I shivered. Ooh, he's already getting into shivving. And stopped. Kara, look! I pointed to the window up ahead. This is a waste of time. She sighed. She saw what I meant. The big window was set very high up on the wall. It stood way over our heads. We couldn't reach it, even if we had a ladder. They make big ladders. It's not like they say, like, oh, sorry, you're on the fourth floor, you're never getting out of this fire. Like, ladders go up, that's the whole point of a ladder. The only way to get through the window is to fly, I said softly. Kara frowned and stared up at the window. How did people clean it? They must have had some really good Mexicans in the 1880s. I hope you and I don't spend the rest of our lives flapping our bat wings and flying in and out of that window, she said. There's got to be a way out of this castle, I told her, forcing myself to sound cheerful. There's got to be a way out of this castle! Come on, let's find the front door. Freddy. No. Kara pulled me back. We can't just go running around the halls. Count Nightwing will see us. We'll be careful, I said. Come on, Kara. We'll find a way out. We turned and jogged side by side past the empty coffins, through the door, and into a long, dimly lit hallway. The hall appeared to stretch for miles. Like, if you don't have enough stars in Super Mario 64, you just keep going up those steps. Dark wood doors lined both sides. The doors were all closed. Above each door, a gas lamp provided a soft glow of yellow light. My shoes sank into the thick blue carpet. How long's carpet been around?
That seems back then.
Really?
For wealthy people, I'm sure.
I like rugs and stuff. I get, oh, whatever. The air smelled sour. Hopefully it was sour diesel and someone smoking dank. I glanced back at the coffin room. An ugly stone gargoyle leaned down at me, perched above the door. I turned away from its evil stare and gazed up and down the hall. The rows of doors stretched in both directions. That's going to be my new boy group that I start and make millions of dollars. It's going to be twice as good as One Direction because it goes both ways. Which way? I whispered. By the way, fucking One Direction played at Qualcomm Stadium, which I live half a mile from.
Right.
Ruined the streets. I was leaving work 4 hours before it started, and it was backed up on the freeway on the 15. And then I almost got in an accident trying to pick Connie up from work because these crazy moms were blocking all the intersections. And one of them just ran a red light and almost hit me, like, going. It was like, fuck it, I gotta see these One Direction boys! Like, it was fucked up, yeah.
It's like a different world that exists, separate from our world that we know.
If I got killed because of One Direction, I would be bummed out.
I've never even heard a song by them.
Neither have I, but we're not in the demographic, so, you know.
Popular.
But, yeah. Kara shrugged. It doesn't matter. We just have to find a door or a window that will take us outside. We made our way silently over the thick carpet. What was that? The gas lamps cast a gloomy, dim light. Our shadows seemed to hide behind us as we walked. Kara and I stopped at the first door we came to. I grabbed the brass knob and turned it. The heavy door creaked as it opened. What was funny about brass knob?
Just grabbing the brass knob. Maybe because here in San Diego there's a gay bar called the Brass Rail.
Yeah.
Maybe my super mature mind went there. But It was funny. I'll assure you of it.
All right. It's a very local joke. We peered into a large, square room. That's, you don't have to describe a room as square. We'll assume that it's at least symmetrical. That's how rooms work, R.L. Stine. If it's something else, you can definitely point that out. If it's a triangle room, I'd like to see that. Filled with furniture. The furniture was all covered with white sheets because someone's grandma lived there. Chairs rose up like ghosts beside a long, covered couch. In a corner, beside a darkened fireplace, a grandfather clock stood guarding the room and offering hard candies. Kara pointed to the heavy black drapes that stretched over the far wall. There must be a window behind here. Let's check it out! We raced across the room. My shoes slipped on the floor. Glancing down, I saw nearly an inch of dust spread over the floor. What did one of the cats just do? I don't think this room has been used for a while, I said. You don't need to point that out when there's an inch of goddamn dust. There's never been an inch of dust anywhere.
That'd be so thick.
Yeah.
I like that. Never anywhere.
Anywhere. Kara didn't reply. She grabbed an end of the heavy drape and tugged it. I reached to help her. The drape slid back. A dust-smeared window stood behind it. Great! I cried. Not so great. Kara replied glumly. I saw instantly what she meant. The window had thick black bars across it because apparently the castle is in the ghetto. Ugh. With a disgusted groan, Kara shoved the drape back into place. We hurried back into the hall and tried the door across the hall. We stepped into a small room filled with luggage trunks. The trunks were stacked on top of each other to the heat of the ceiling and shit. The window in... Drinking.
Was there a window or was there...
No, there was no window in this room.
Oh, okay.
All right. Are you reading along with me?
Yeah.
Because you see how many words I skip and stuff and how many sentences I kind of reform in my mind?
I'm honored to be seeing how the magic works behind the scenes.
How I secretly read things that don't have proper grammar because I just cut words out or change them.
Oh, yeah.
The next room had an enormous, old, dark wood desk in its center and shelves of ancient-looking books from floor to ceiling. Nerds. Another heavy black drape covered the window. I eagerly pulled the drape back to find another dust-covered window and more thick black bars. Weird, I muttered. This castle is like a prison, Kara said in a shaky whisper, having never been to prison because she was like 12 and doesn't know what it's like at all, so she shouldn't talk. Her dark eyes glowed with fear. But there's got to be a way out of here. We crept back into the long hall. I stopped when I heard a soft, fluttering sound. Bat wings? Were the vampires returning? Kara heard it too. Hurry, she whispered. We pushed open the next door and darted inside like darts. I carefully closed the door behind us. Then I turned and saw that we had entered a big dining room, all fucking Hogwartsy and shit. The long table filled most of the room. It was bare except for a tall candelabra in the center. Stubs of white candles poked up in the candelabra. That's my new name for my dick. It's called a stub of white candle.
It's more of a menorah.
Yeah. Because I have 8 of them. Wax had dripped in small puddles on the table. The puddles were buried in a gray layer of dust. No one has been here in a long time, I muttered. If I wrote this book, which means, you know, I probably should never write a book, I would have just wrote, hey, FYI, I'm not going to explain it anymore, but everything's covered in dust. We can all just assume that now and just... Every room, dust. Don't worry about it, dust.
And no one's been here in a long time.
Yeah.
Instead of repeating the same line 5 times.
Yeah.
One might be enough.
Yeah, that's not. Essentially, I should write cliff notes, not a book. Kara was already at the window. She pulled back the drape to reveal another barred window. She tore at her hair in frustration. Ah, fuck you, hair! Every window has bars, she wailed. And we can't keep walking through these halls. Someone will find us. Staring at the long, dust-covered dining room, I had an idea. Vampires don't eat, I said. So what? Kara cried as if she was in the band Anti-Nowhere League. She slammed her fist against the heavy black drape. So they probably never go in the kitchen, I continued. We'll be safe in the kitchen, and maybe there's a kitchen door, and maybe... Kara sighed. Maybe. She shook her head glumly. There are thousands of rooms in this creepy castle. How will we ever find the kitchen? I want to live in that rat-ass castle with thousands of rooms.
Yeah?
You can beat off in so many different places.
I do already! I took her by the shoulders and guided her to the door. Well, this is the dining room, right? Maybe the kitchen is close to the dining room. Maybe, she repeated bitterly. What is that helping, bitch? I said. I guided her into the hall, then led the way to the next door. We pushed it open and peeked inside. No, not a kitchen. We quickly crept down the hall, trying door after door. No kitchen. How are we supposed to be whipping and flipping the brick in the kitchen? I'm sipping codeine in the kitchen.
No kitchen.
They're not even going to ever be able to turn this castle into a trap. Gia text from a girl.
I don't turn my phone off.
I just spit on the keyboard, though. We kept glancing back, watching for Count Nightwing, hoping we wouldn't bump into him, because then we'd have to make awkward conversation.
Goose bumped into him.
Ooh! We turned a corner, found ourselves in a narrower, darker hallway. I tried the first door. Yes! An old-fashioned kitchen with a wide fireplace hearth, a wood-burning stove, some baking soda and uncut cocaine, and blackened pots and pans hanging on the wall beside the hearth. My eyes glanced quickly around the room and landed at the broad kitchen window. Why's it got to be a broad?
In the kitchen?
No black drape and no bars.
Sounds like a shitty town.
Yay! Kara cheered. We both dove for the window. Could we open it? Dude, you have it described all the shit there. Take a pan, smash it into the window, then hop out and then realize, oh wait, I'm in the 1880s. There's nothing I can do.
Take the big vat of methylamine.
Yeah.
Go through the window.
Yeah.
Cook up a quick batch.
Whipping and flipping the brick in the kitchen. We tried pushing it up from the bottom, but... there were no handles, no place to grip the frame. Smash it, Kara cried like Dune. Smash the window open. I ran to the wall. God damn it, he's doing exactly what I described, and I hate when I'm like, why doesn't he just do this? And it's like, well, actually, idiot, he does this. I ran to the wall and pulled down a heavy metal skillet. It just says Iron Maiden on it. It's actually a really light skillet. I lugged it to the window, pulled back my arm, prepared to swing. Oh! I cried out when I heard a cough behind us from the hallway. It's him, I whispered. It's Count Nightwing! Smash the window, idiot, Kara insisted. No, he'll hear us. He'll find us, I whispered back. I lowered the skillet to the floor and turned back to study the window. Another cough. Closer this time.
He should really stop coughing if he wants to sneak up on them. But
they don't have halls yet, Nick. Even though there's a lot of halls in the castle, they haven't invented menthol.
There's no Ricola man back then?
Ricola? You just pronounce it Ricola as Ricola?
Ricola?
Just, you know, the guy who plays the big horn. Ricola.
Yeah, Switzerland was a place back then. Ricola. Hey, what can I tell you?
Leaned into it, pushed with all my strength. Slowly, the window slid out as if it was trying not to get someone pregnant. With a groan, I pushed it open as far as it would go. A gust of cool night air swept over me as if God was smoking a menthol. I grabbed Kara's hand and started to give her a boost. A noise behind us at the doorway made me jump. Hurry, I whispered. He's coming, my heart pounding. I pushed Kara up to the window. Then we both scrambled frantically out onto the ledge. God damn, that was a long-ass chapter. Fuck, what were you saying? Thank you. God damn. I'm going to lay back and vape, and then I'm going to drink this beer, and then I'm going to do next show.
Can't wait.
God damn.
This is the 18th chapter of Vampire Breath by that motherfucker R.L. Stein. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think he might be Jewish. Did he see us? Was he in the kitchen? Carol whispered. I don't know, I told her. I didn't see, but he was definitely in the hall. If he saw us, Kara started, a gust of wind drowned out the rest of her words. The night wind felt cool and refreshing on my skin, like some sort of aloe vera. Heavy clouds floated over the moon and plunged us into total darkness. We were both on our knees, our backs to the kitchen, huddled close behind Kara. I struggled to keep my balance on the narrow stone window ledge. Wait, what story were they on when they decided just to hop out of there?
Are they climbing outside on the window right now?
Yeah, they're on the window like all, every bad movie. Let's get going, I urged. We both turned and faced the window. Then, gripping the stone ledge with both hands, not one hand, but two hands, we began lowering our legs down the wall, lowering ourselves to the ground. Wait, that freaked out about being on the first floor, second floor?
That's on the first floor, it seems.
But then again, there's no proper medicine. You break your leg then. It's just like, ah, look at Ronnie the Cripple.
He's going to the dead pile of people.
Yep. Lower. Lower. Like Eminem's career. Hey, I cried out when my feet didn't touch anything solid. A shaft of moonlight broke through the clouds. I looked down and opened my mouth in a hoarse scream. Nay! My feet kicked the air. My hands gripped the ledge above me. I stared down into empty space. Far below, I could see dark, jagged rocks glowing dully in the moonlight. What kind of rocks glow? Far below, miles below, we're on top of a cliff, Kara stammered. The castle, it's built on a cliff. Bet so many people died building that shit, especially in that time period. That's sad. Also, are they still in America?
So many Romanians lost.
Wait, but did it... Okay, I thought they just time traveled, but didn't travel the physical location. That's why his coffin was there in the first place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't think time travel... I think you can still go anywhere you want.
So, it's just it's like the TARDIS, where you just assume you can physically travel to any location if you're traveling in time.
Yes.
TARDIS
rules.
Oh, I uttered a terrified moan. That's gonna be me when if I get mugged. I'm just gonna be like, oh boy,
because your idea of being terrified is like has been formed by.
Gee, golly, Goshenstein, don't shoot me! The castle was built on top of a sheer rock cliff, and we were now dangling over the side, dangling by our arms, dangling like dingleberries. My arms started to ache. I could feel my hands slipping, losing their grip on the stone window ledge above me. Kara! I gasped. Oh, hell yeah. Short chapter. Hell we. Papa, what do you want? Franklin. Chapter number 19. My hands scraped the dark stones of the wall. Rude, rude, rude. Spilled the pot container, which made sound.
I tried to scrape the dark stones of the wall.
Oh, all right.
But I failed.
I struggled to grab on to something, anything, but I was falling too fast. My feet kicked. I thrashed my arms. The wind rushed up at me as if trying to push me back. Was that me howling like that? I was falling too fast to hear my own scream. I can't hear the scream because I'm falling so fast. And then suddenly, I stopped.
So it would sound like it.
Yeah.
Could hear it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Stopped screaming. Stopped falling. A black shadow. A swept around me. I felt something sharp dig into my shoulders. Hot breath grazed the back of my neck. I heard a loud, flapping sound. A fluttering heartbeat. Gripped inside the shadow, I felt myself being pulled up like the things you wear between diapers and undies. I twisted my head back and saw two glowing red eyes. The hot breath poured from its dark, gaping mouth. It's going to eat me, I realized. So self-centered. Why would it eat you? You're not the most delicious dude on the planet. I'm trapped inside this red-eyed shadow, trapped in its talons as it carries me higher and higher. It's amazing how I have perfect pitch.
It is.
It's pretty spectacular. And then darkness surrounded me as if I were at a Migos concert. I landed somewhere, landing hard on my feet with a loud thud. The darkness lifted. I opened my eyes and saw Kara. Her mouth dropped open in amazement. Freddy, she choked out. Freddy? See, one of those had a dash and then an exclamation point, and one had a dash then a question mark, and I nailed them both perfectly because I am the best at this. I spun toward the big open window to see the giant bat that had carried me back into the kitchen. Its wings flapped against the floor. The red eyes glowed angrily from its big, ugly face. You're not one to judge. It saved our lives, I realized. I collapsed to my knees in trying to thank him in the only way I knew how. Oh, sorry. I grabbed the side of the stove to hold myself up. I'm okay. I'm going to be okay, I told myself. I raised my eyes to the enormous bat. It started to shriek.
Try again.
Eee! I need those fine?
No.
We'll fix it in post.
I think it may have been getting smaller.
Eee!
Not.
Whatever. It tucked itself inside its black wings, wrapped the wings around its body. The wings melted into a cape. A purple cape.
Who's Prince?
It's Prince all along. The vampire formerly known as Prince. Or the vampire futurely known... Is Prince a vampire?
The future. Are they going to party like it's 1899?
Yeah, that's actually, it's 1800 or 1880 right now, so it's gonna be a while, okay? Idiot.
I know, that's the Prince song came out way before 1900.
Yeah, but no one likes Prince. And as the cape swept back, Count Nightwing appeared. You made a serious mistake, young man, he scolded sternly in his weird new accent. His strange silver eyes burned angrily into mine. Do you think you can fly? He demanded with a sneer. You are not ready to fly yet. You are not R. Kelly.
Oh, no,
it just says I three times. I was still shaking too hard to speak. When I turn
you into a vampire, you can fly every night, Count Nightwing snarled. He lowered his face close to mine, so close I could smell the decay of his pale skin. Ugh. Don't try to escape again, he growled. It is a waste of time, and the next time, I won't catch you.
Damn. I swallowed hard. Oh, apparently he's still on his knees. I held my breath, trying to force my heart to stop pounding so hard. Count Nightwing turned away from me, swirling the purple cape behind him like a pimp. He floated past Kara through the kitchen. He stopped at the door and swung back to us. Don't just stand here, he ordered. Come, help me find the vampire breath. I know it is somewhere in this wing of the castle. He grabbed his pale throat. I'm so thirsty, so thirsty.
Like you.
Mm-hmm.
Refreshing 211.
His silvery eyes locked on Kara, then me. I must remember where I hid my fangs. Hurry, help me find the vampire breath. It is somewhere nearby. I am certain of it. Kara and I had no choice, like someone who wanted an abortion in the 60s. He stood at the doorway, waiting for us to follow, holding onto the stove. I pulled myself to my feet. Then I followed Kara through the kitchen to the hall. Perhaps I hid the bottle in the royal guest room, Count Nightwing said, talking to himself. He pushed open a door and vanished inside the room. Kara and I kept walking. The hallways appeared to stretch for miles ahead of us. Door after door after door. And this was only one wing of the vampire castle. That would have not been so spectacular if it's like, it went on for miles, and this is the only place it went on for miles. Everything else is nothing. Are you okay? Kara asked, studying me as we walked. You still look kind of shaky. I am kind of shaky, I confessed, having not drank in 30 hours. After all, I fell off a cliff. Kara shook her head. It isn't going to be easy to escape. We can't escape, I replied. The castle was built up here on top of the cliff to keep anyone from escaping. She brushed a strand of black hair from her eyes. Pube. We can't give up, Freddy. We have to keep trying. As soon as he finds his fangs, he's going to turn us into vampires, which wouldn't be cool, but it would be super cool if you asked Noon. That's why my first plan is the best, I insisted. We have to find the bottle of vampire breath before that motherfucker does. Maybe we'll get lucky. Yeah? Do you want it?
Him and Kara are going
to get lucky. Do you want to do it? Or? Okay, never mind. Maybe we'll find the bottle first, though. That's cool, though. But just wink if you want to do it, because I'm so horny.
Kara's down.
But what will we do once we have it? Kara demanded. Mainly keep it from that motherfucker, I declared. I pulled her into the next room, the dungeon. You know, it's not a dungeon. They were not having sex. We both gasped when we saw the coffins. Dozens of them, all lined up perfectly in four rows the length of the room, all open. Another vampire bedroom, Kara cried. She shivered. It's so creepy, Freddy. Look how many there are. The vampires are all out somewhere, swooping around, searching for blood to drink, going to high school in either Washington or Oregon. I didn't actually see the movies, I said. But soon, they'll be flying home. And when they see us, Kara gulped. We'll be their dessert. You don't taste that good. You could just be like they're fucking saltines. Yep. Oh, yeah, I forgot they're fat.
The little boy was fat?
I eventually made everyone fat, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maybe we should search for the vampire breath in another room, I suggested, somewhere away from these coffins. But then my eye fell on something. He meant he saw something. His eye didn't just fall out and fall on the ground.
That would be crazy, though.
That would be cuckoo bananas.
Thanks for clarifying.
No problem. A coffin against the wall. A closed coffin. Kara, look at that, I whispered, pointing.
When I kill you, it's going to be a closed coffin funeral.
Why would you kill me?
I'm going to leave nothing recognizable.
I just got engaged, dude. Why are you going to kill me?
The insurance money.
What insurance money? I didn't get paid last week, and I literally have $250 in my bank account.
Your assets?
Yes, that's my assets. And I have my health insurance, car insurance, then I have to get smogged and registration, and I couldn't pay for one of them because my goddamn CFO, who's a multimillionaire, forgot to pay me. He's spending $150 on an engagement ring for the woman he married 4 years ago and got her $90,000 ring then that she pawned and they broke up and she cheated on her. He's going to try it again, even though she's cheated on him since. And the fact that all this is going on, I'm super angry right now.
This guy's bad luck.
I'm super angry because my check is already gone and I didn't get my check on time. I all the things I have to pay are more expensive than what I have in my account. Shut up, phone. And I'm fucking angry.
Bring this up.
God damn, I'm fucking pissed.
We're so close to finishing chapter 19.
Goddamn, sorry. All the columns of a closed coffin. Kara, look at that, I whispered, pointing. All the other coffins were left open, and Dune has no goddamn fucking money. That's the only one with a closed lid. Do you think that Dune should have money? Kara squinted at the closed coffin. Weird, she murmured. Very weird that Dune does all this shit and still's fucking broke as fuck and's trying to get married and shit and be an adult. And obviously he can't do it because he's such a fuck up and alcoholic and goddamn, where's my goddamn beer?
Let me give you a little back rub for a second.
Thank you, I'm very aroused now. My brain whirred with crazy ideas. Maybe it's an empty coffin, I suggested excitedly. Let's go open it up and make love in it. Maybe no one sleeps in that coffin. That would be the perfect place to fuck. The perfect place to hide a bottle of vampire breath. Kara held me back. Or maybe a vampire is sleeping in that coffin and has a hangover and just didn't want to wake up in the morning. She warned, if we open the coffin and wake him up. Her voice trailed off like trail mix. We have to look inside, I exclaimed. We have to take that chance. We made our way to the coffin. I stared at the polished, dark wood of the lid. I cautiously ran a hand over the smooth wood and polished the dark wood more and more and just fucking polished. And just fucking skate. Then, without saying a word, Kara grabbed one handle and I grabbed the other. And slowly, we began to lift the coffin lid. Fucking idiot didn't pay me. Chapter number, Talkan number 3 of Steel Reserve 20.
Talkan number 3, but chapter 20, right? I just want to make sure.
Talkan 3, chapter 20.
Not Talkan 20.
I would be dead. The lid was solid and heavy. It's funny because all those words in the 70s would have been like, I bought some good marijuana. Because the lid was an amount and solid and heavy were both terms used.
Thank you for knowing the
lid. Yeah. Hey, I just bought a lid. It was both solid and heavy, bruh. Let's smoke it. Also, bruh's not going to be a word for a while. Kara and I leaned into it and pushed. Finally, it dropped to the other side of the coffin. I turned to the door to make sure Count Nightwing wasn't anywhere around and shit and didn't hear. No sign of that motherfucker. I pulled myself straight up and peered into the open coffin. The inside was covered with dark green felt, because green is for the money and gold is for the honeys. It reminded me of the pool table in our basement.
And that he had banged on it before.
He didn't bang, he's 12, his ding-dong doesn't work. I sighed. I wondered if I'd ever see my basement again. It's empty, Kara murmured sadly. Just an empty coffin. We've got to keep searching, I said. I started to...
You had it. Didn't this already happen, though? The empty coffin that turned into Count Nightwing?
Yep. You
shouldn't really be blowing this off. It's just another empty coffin.
I know.
Could easily...
You gotta talk louder and not cover your mouth, because you're far from the mic.
Ayo.
Thank you. I started to back away from the coffin when I saw the pocket. A green pocket in the side of the coffin, like the pockets on the side of suitcases. It bulged out a little from the side, like my dad's hernia. Whoa, hold on a minute, I told Kara. She was already halfway to the door. I reached into the pocket and pulled out a blue glass bottle. Kara, look! It's hypnotic, like black people drink for some reason. Just kidding, that's not what he said. I cried. I forgot that we didn't want Count Nightwing to hear us. I found it! The vampire breath! A smile broke out over Kara's face. God, she looked good. Her dark eyes flashed with excitement. Excellent! She exclaimed. Excellent! Now we've got to hide it from Count Nightwing. Somewhere he'll never find it. We should put it inside a lady, am I right? Because he's a home! I held the bottle up close to my face and studied it. Maybe we should open it and pour it out for our dead homies, I said. Kara rushed up beside me. She took the bottle from my hand. When we open it, before it took us back in time, when we opened that shit before it took us back in time, she said excitedly, maybe if we open it now, it will take us forward in time. Wait, so last time you did it, it took you 110 years back in time, and now you're going to open it again and presumably get taken back 110 more years?
I would think that's more likely.
Yeah.
But I bet it'll work out great.
I finished her thought for, yes, Count Nightwing said it can be used for time travel. Maybe if we open it and think real hard about where we want to go, it will take us home. To my basement. We both stared at the blue bottle. Should we hide it and keep it away from the old vampire to stop him from getting his fangs back? Or should we take what's inside of it and mix it with Sprite in a Jolly Rancher and get weird?
I choose number two.
Or...
I want to. Oh, wait, this isn't choose your own.
No, sorry. You get no choice in this. Or should we open it up and hope that the smelly mist would carry us home? Kara gripped the bottle tightly in one hand. She raised her other hand to the glass stopper on the top. She started to pull it open, then stopped. We stared at each other. We didn't speak. No, we didn't speak at all. Vampire breaths and something.
That was Don't Speak by No Doubt, everybody. Uh-huh. Just to translate that for our listeners.
Go ahead. Do it. I whispered, like the failed Nike campaign. Kara nodded in agreement. She squeezed the stopper again and started to pull, but she stopped once again and gasped out of the corner of her eye. My eye! I saw something move. I heard a soft footstep, and I realized that we were no longer alone. I think he means in the room, not like that they're no longer alone in the universe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No longer, somebody else is in the room now. That's spooky.
Yeah, because it seems more...
Not an existential.
To pertain to this situation rather than, you know, space. Okay. But we'll see.
Confused and spooky.
This is going to be the longest Goosebumps ever. Chapter 21. I spun around, expecting to find Count Nightwing. Oh! I cried out when a girl stepped out of the shadows. Her pale blue eyes were wide with shock. I think she was as surprised to see us as we were to see her. Her. That's like, I think, what they say about bears. As she stepped toward us, I saw that she had ringlets of blonde curls that fell past her shoulders. She wore a gray jumper. Isn't that a British term? What's a jumper?
No, it sounds like something that people in the future would wear.
I think it's British for a sweater, because I think in Harry Potter they say it. Very long and old-fashioned, with a white blouse underneath. So I sprayed her with some water, and I said, wet t-shirt contest, who lives? She's about our age. So I said, wet t-shirt contest, no titties! I realized, but definitely from a different time. She stopped several coffins away. Who... are you? She asked, eyeing us suspiciously. What are you doing here? We really don't know, I stammered. We know who we are, but we don't know what we're doing here, Kara corrected me. We got here by accident, I added. It's not like they peed themselves in traveled time. They meant that, like, they got there not on purpose. The girl's confused expression didn't change. She tucked her hands into the pockets of her jumper. Who are you, bitch? Kara demanded. Girls don't like each other, that's a fact. I just read something that was on Reddit that was like explaining that guys make fun of and say horrible shit about their friends and don't mean it, and girls say very complimentary and nice things about their friends and don't mean it. And I was like, that is our relationships. The girl didn't answer right away. Keeping her distance, she continued to study us with her pale blue eyes. Gwendolyn, she said finally. My name is Gwendolyn Stefanolyn. Are you one of them? The question popped out of my mouth. Gwendolyn shuddered. No, I'm not black. She answered quickly, pointing at her blonde ringlets. her mouth curled into an angry sneer like Sid Vicious. "No, I hate them," she declared. "I hate them all." So racist. Kara shifted her weight tensely, which was quite an ordeal because she's morbidly obese. I could see that she was really nervous. She handed the bottle of vampire breath to me. The bottle felt cold and damp from Kara's hands. I lowered it to my side and out of Gwendolyn's sight. "Do you live here?" Kara asked Gwendolyn. "Are you related to Count Nightwing?" Gwendolyn's sneer grew more bitter. "Nah," she choked out. Tears welled in her eyes. "I'm a prisoner here. I'm only 12. But they treat me like a slave, even though I'm blonde. You can't be blonde and a slave." She let the tears run down her pale cheeks. "A slave," she repeated in a trembling voice. "Do you know what they forced me to do? Clean and polish their coffins night and day." "Yuck," Kara murmured. Gwendolyn sighed. She brushed her blonde ringlets off her face and wiped away a tear. "Night and day, there are a dozen coffin rooms in this castle, all filled with row after row of coffins, and I must keep them smooth and shiny and clean for the vampires who apparently have never heard of Mexicans." "What if you refuse?" I asked. "What if you tell Count Nightwing you don't want to do it no more?" Gwendolyn uttered a dry laugh. "Then he'll turn me into a vampire," she shuddered again. "I'd rather clean their coffins," she murmured bitterly. "Can't you sexcape?" I asked. Another dry laugh escaped her lips. "Escape. If I did, they would track me down. They would turn into bats and fly after me, and then would drink my blood until I was one of them motherfuckers." I swallowed hard, apparently still on my knees. I felt so bad for her. I didn't know what to say. "We don't belong here," Kara told her, glancing to the door. "Count Nightwing brought us here by accident. Can you help us? Is there any way for us to escape?" Gwendolyn lowered her gaze to the floor, thinking hard. "There may be a way," she said finally. "But we'll have to be very careful. If he catches us, dot, 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 close quotation mark, we'll be careful," I promised, like when we fell off the giant cliff. We're super good at being careful. Gwendolyn glanced to the front of the room. "Follow me," she whispered. "Hurry. It is almost dawn. If the vampires return and see you, it'll be too late." Maybe they'll be pregnant. Is that what late means? "Then they will pounce on you and drink your blood and do butt stuff to you with no lube. You will never see daylight again." She led us into the hall, clinging to the wall. We stopped and looked in both directions, y'all. No sign of Count Nightwing, but we knew he was nearby, searching for the bottle of vampire breath. The bottle I held tightly in my hand. "This way," Gwendolyn whispered. We followed her through another door. It led to a narrow stairway. Gas lamps on the wall cast a dim light. The lighting...
That's at least three times in this book. Gas lamps on the wall cast a dim glow, lighting the stairs as we made our way down.
Thank you for finishing the sentence. I couldn't, too. And where's the gas coming from? I know the gas company's not trudging up the goddamn cliff. Oh, maybe there's vampire gas people
that turn to bats and fly up there.
Yeah.
Sell them their gas.
Yes. It's a living.
Bats gotta eat.
I don't know where I am. I lost where I am. Oh, here we go. We found ourselves, like Dune just found where he was, in a long, twisting tunnel, like your colon. Gwendolyn led us through it, walking rapidly, silently. The tunnel was so narrow, we had to walk in single file. It twisted and curved and took us down deeper, deeper, deeper into the castle. God. Is there a way out of here? Kara asked the Joker. Kara's voice echoed in the narrow tunnel. See, I brought that back again. Gwendolyn nodded. Yeah, follow me. There's a secret exit through the castle cellar. And that's why I'm taking you through the colon, idiots. And that's the exit we're talking about, which, you know, if you're drunk enough, can be an entrance. Our footsteps thudded on the hard tunnel floor. Up ahead of us, Gwendolyn's blonde hair glowed like a torch leading the way. How much fucking ecstasy was R.L. Stine eating that he thinks everything glows? The hair glows, the rocks glow, his glow sticks glow, but those actually glow? And his pacifier glows. The way to freedom. The way to safety. I leaned close to Kara and whispered, "This is great. We're getting out of here, and we're taking the vampire breath with us." Kara raised a finger to her lips. "We're not out yet," she reminded me. The tunnel emptied into a huge, dark cellar, perfect for El Chapo to escape. Gwendolyn pulled a flaming torch off the wall and carried it high in front of her to light the way and possibly track down Frankenstein. "Follow me," she whispered. "Hurry!" The flickering torch cast a narrow path of light through the cellar. I couldn't see anything on either side of us. Total blackness. Like if Al Sharpton didn't have his way, am I right? Gwendolyn led us deeper into the darkness. It smelled damp and sour down here. Somewhere in the distance, I heard water dripping. Kara and I huddled close together, trying to stay in the light of the torch. I squeezed the bottle of vampire breath tightly in my hand. Gwendolyn stopped so suddenly, we nearly walked into her like the Three Stooges. We turned slowly. The torchlight revealed a smile on her face. "Are we here yet?" Kara demanded. "Where's the door?" "Yes, we're here." Gwendolyn Stefanolin replied in a whisper. "We're all alone now. There doesn't seem to be any vampires around." "Huh?" I cried. I didn't understand. "What don't you understand? You're there and alone." "I'll have you all to myself," Gwendolyn continued. Her smile grew wider. Her eyes were half shut like Nick's right now because he's stoned. "We won't be interrupted by Count Nightwing or the others." "But where do we escape?" I demanded. Gwendolyn didn't reply. "Why have we stopped her?" Kara cried. "I'm so thirsty," Gwendolyn hissed like a parcel tongue. "So thirsty." As she lowered the torch, I saw long, pointed fangs slide down her chin like a walrus. "I'm so thirsty," she sighed. "So terribly thirsty." She grabbed me by the shoulders, and I felt the scratch of her fangs against my throat!
What?
The fuck?
Gwendolyn's a vampire. She's not good at all.
Oh, wow. If you can't trust some random person that approaches you silently in a vampire's castle, who can you trust?
Seriously.
Fucking A. Do you run liberal media? Chapter 20 fucking 2. "No!" I screamed. I grabbed her arms and shoved her off of me. "No! Get away! Get away from me! No means no! This is rape!" I howled. Her eyes flashed excitedly. Salvia dripped from her pointed fangs as she did the worst drug imaginable. Just kidding, it's saliva. "So thirsty," she hissed. "Get away, get away," I pleaded. "You want to sexcape, don't you?" she teased. "This is the only way to sexcape." She tossed back her head and opened her mouth wide. Then she dove for me. See, by context, I know it's dove, not dove.
Dove would be a bird.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's the same word with different meanings. And I was smart enough to realize that.
So proud of you.
So goddamn smart. It's amazing how I do this. No way! I cried, ducking away. See, I knew this duck was not another bird, but it was actually him crouching down or moving. See? Dove, duck, different context, not birds.
Why'd you keep bringing these up?
Uh-huh. Her long, curly pigeon hair slapped against my face. See, I staggered back, caught my balance. She prepared to attack me. Freddy, the vampire breath, Kara cried. Use the vampire breath. Maybe it'll take us to the future. Huh? I had forgotten I had it in my hand because I'm super stoned, like when you're looking for your keys. So thirsty. Gwendolyn Schmendolyn Schmendolyn, no doubt, Gavin Rossdale murmured, licking her dry lips. So thirsty. I raised the vampire breath high. The blue glass bottle caught the light from the torch. Gwendolyn gasped and drew back in fur. I grabbed the top and started to pull. No, please no, Gwendolyn begged. Put that down. Don't open it. Please, don't open it! I squeezed the glass top and pulled open the bottle. Oh my God. They popping bottles up in here.
I really hope something crazy happens.
We'll find out in chapter number 23. Yeah,
Goosebumps. Just go for it, man.
You want me just to go into it?
Just go for it.
How long? Okay, I'm doing it. I'm just going into it. Fine, fuck it. I'm taking your advice. Let me drink some Steel Reserve first. Just say anything.
Talking about chapter 23, can you dig it? Opening the bottle of vampire breath, what's gonna happen?
Nothing happened.
Aww.
That's literally how it starts. All three of us stared at the open blue bottle in my hand. It takes a few seconds, I told Kara, the same excuse I gave when I couldn't get it up. My voice came out high and shaky. Remember back in the basement? It took a few seconds. That is the fucking words in the book. I didn't even have to continue the dick joke. Back in my basement, it took a few seconds, but oh, whatever. Then it came whooshing out. That's not a good sexual experience. Let me get a boner. I came.
Yeah, cupping is never referred to as whooshing until now.
Oh, I whoosh all over. Gwendolyn's eyes were wide, locked on the bottle. I bet Gwendolyn has bigger boobs than Gwen Stefani, and she's like 12. We stared in tense silence. A few seconds went by. Then, a few more seconds. R.L. Stein, that's terrible writing. Hey, a few seconds went by, and then a few more seconds went by, and then, like, some time passed. Gwendolyn broke the silence with a fart. I'm sorry, with a gleeful laugh. It's empty, she declared through her laughter. The castle is filled with empties. There's a whole room of them over there.
Like Jim's bedroom.
That's true. I just cleaned my dresser and there's already so many goddamn empty fucking cans and cocktail things. She pointed into the darkness. I raised the bottle to my face, like I was a gay dude doing some poppers, and squinted inside. Too dark to see anything, but Gwendolyn was right. It was definitely empty. Empty like Nick's heart. I let it fall to the floor. Gwendolyn's grin was so evil in the shadowy light from the torch. I tried to back away, but I bumped into a stone column. Trapped. As she grinned so hungrily at me, Gwendolyn's fangs shone in the pale light. So thirsty, she whispered unoriginally. Freddy, don't run away. Help me, I'm so thirsty. I'm thirsty too, a voice boomed from behind me. I spun around to see a flash of orange torchlight. The light bounced toward us, and inside it, I saw the angry face of Count Nightwing. He floated to us. It's rad that he has, like, a built-in rascal scooter and he doesn't actually have to walk. His eyes narrowed at Gwendolyn. Her mouth dropped open. She raised both hands in front of her, as if to shield herself, as if she was Sonic and got a whoom,
Gwendolyn, what are you doing down here with my prisoners? Count Nightwing demanded angrily, first in Dune's voice, then in some weird one. He didn't give her a chance to reply. He floated up off the floor, floated over her. His cape floated out like bat wings, his silvery eyes locked onto hers, and he opened his mouth in a furious hiss. Gwendolyn's fangs glistened wetly in the torchlight. She tossed back her blonde ringlets and, still shielding herself with both hands, hissed up at the old vampire.
Old-fashioned hiss-off.
It's a hiss-off. It's just a hissing contest.
Well, that's
a
kiss-off.
Oh, wow! I thought. They're gonna fight. Vampire fight. This is gonna be like Blade. Or Blade 2, but dear God, I hope it's not like Blade 3. I leaned forward, horrified but eager to watch. The two vampires, one of them was a vampire, floated off the floor. They hissed at each other like cats, like two snakes about to strike. Freddy, come on, Carol whispered. She grabbed my arm and pulled. This is our chance. This is our opportunity. Will we take it? Mom spaghetti. Carol was right. While the two vampires hissed at each other, we had to try to get away. My heart pounding, I grabbed Gwendolyn's torch off the floor and darted after Kara once again. Like a blowgun. He thought I was going to say dart again. We ran blindly through the basement, which is the least safe way to run. There's got to be a way out, I repeated to myself. There's got to be a way to escape. Finally, I saw an open door. Because when God opens a door, a window with bars and Jesus Christ.
When R.L. Stein opened the door.
Which,
same difference.
Yeah. I was tweeting a lot about Jesus yesterday.
Oh, night? Really?
About the fact that if he was really tight, as people say he is, he would have turned that water into lean. And then I was like, yo, I'm giving you one last chance. You can turn this jacuzzi into original recipe Four Loko. And then I'll believe in you. But if you don't, we're done.
As long as he turns it into purple-colored alcohol, can't you be okay with that?
Yeah, but he didn't do shit. Fucking idiot. It was just normal Four Loko when he threw some fucking no-dos in there. That's not original Four Loko, Jesus Christ. Anyway. Finally, I saw an open door. Kara and I burst through the door. I glanced back. I saw Count Nightwing floating high off the floor. His cape swirled behind him. Gwendolyn hissed up at him weakly from the cellar floor. No time to watch their fight. I followed Kara into the room. Where are we? I whispered. I raised the torch in front of us. Wow, Kara murmured, as the shelves against the wall came into the light. I don't believe it. We found the room of empty vampire breath bottles that Gwendolyn had told us about. Shelves covered every wall, from floor to ceiling, because they're hoarders and can't throw away their trash. And each shelf was crammed with blue bottles. Stacks and stacks and racks of blue glass bottles. There must be a million empty bottles in here, I whispered, exaggerating, because I'm a little kid and I don't understand how numbers work. We gazed around the room. The bottles sparkled like blue gems. I was going to call him an idiot and name a blue gem, and then I realized I can't think of any. What's the blue stone?
Turquoise.
Yeah, the bottles sparkle like blue gems. Oh, you mean turquoise, idiots? Neon. Thank you. Caught in the light from the torch. Kara shook her head hard, as if trying to shake the amazing sight from her eyes. She turned to me, her expression solemn like Gollum. This isn't helping us escape, she whispered. Escape? A hoarse voice rasped from the doorway. Oh no, vampire horses! That's the movie I'm going to sell to Sci-Fi Channel. Count Nightwing moved quickly into the room. There is no need to talk of escape, he said, narrowing his strange silver eyes at Kara and me. For there is no escape from Count Nightwing's castle. He raised his cape and floated off the floor. What are you gonna do? I stammered. He tossed back his bald head and uttered a frightening hiss.
I thought he was bald.
Well, you should have read the last one. Because apparently I didn't know that either.
I was here.
I felt myself push back, deeper,
into the room. Hi, Scarlet. Welcome downstairs. He was using some kind of force, some kind of ancient power that was, you know, suggested by his large midichlorian count. He floated higher. The cape billowed around him like Bilbo Baggins.
Thank you.
He looked like a frail insect inside a purple cocoon. But I could feel his power like Kanye's, pushing me back, holding me, pushing me, entering me, in, out, and then suddenly, I felt him let go. He dropped heavily to the floor, his eyes flashed, he snapped his bony fingers, oh no you didn't, and then, a thin-lipped smile creased his face, yes, he hissed. I assume all vampires just have lisps at this point. Kara and I backed up to the shelves at the far wall. My legs were trembling now, like Forrest Gump. He had gripped me in some kind of ancient force, and now I felt totally shaky. I struggled to catch my breath. Yes, he hissed again. I remember now.
A serious lisp.
Yep.
Not even on the S.
It's sad. It's sad. That's
an affliction, really.
You know, people think he's gay, but he's just bi.
I shouldn't make light of it.
I know. Chapter 2420. Just kidding. It's not 420. It's just 24. Blaze it, faggot. Kara and I stared at the old vampire in silence. He turned to the shelves of blue bottles.
This is where I hid my full bottle of vampire breath, he told us. I hid it here in the empties room. I knew the others would never look here.
Maybe you shouldn't live with thieves, dude. If your roommates are stealing from you and it's your castle, maybe you should just kick them out. And maybe you're, yes, they're not going to pay rent and you're going to have to get a different job, but it's not worth it to live with people to steal from you.
It's oddly specific.
Yep. As he smiled, I could see his gums. Soft and smooth inside the dry lip mouth. Ooh, no gingivitis.
You give a great blowy, am I right?
Yeah. His smile faded and his silvery eyes narrowed. I'm so thirsty, he whispered, eyeing Kara and me in presumably Dune's steel reserve. I must find the full bottle, refresh my memory, and get my things back. He dove. Not Dove. For the nearest shelf and began pawing through the blue bottles.
Why do you make the big bucks?
Which one? Which one? He muttered to himself. Thousands of bottles, not millions, idiot. And only one is full. His small, bony hands moved quickly over the shelf. He pushed aside empties like a junkie looking for one last OxyContin. Sorry, it's not there, dude. You need help. Muttering to himself, bottles crashed to the floor, shattering into pieces like your heart when that dude left you. Sorry, he's not coming back, idiot. Kara, quick! I pointed to the far shelf. Let's move! She understood me instantly because I explained exactly what to do by saying, let's move. Obviously, she understood. I vocalized it. We had to find the full bottle first. We had to find it before Count Nightwing did. I dropped my knees. No time for that! And began sifting through the bottles on the bottom shelf. Empty, 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 empty. Him and I both go for the bottom shelf bottles. I got some fucking rot gut vodka recently that was the absolute cheapest. It was like $4 cheaper than Popoff. I pushed them aside, one by one. My fingers moved quickly over the glass tops. I squinted hard in the dim light, searching. Searching for the one full bottle. Glass shattered on the hard floor. By the way, the scene in Harry Potter where they're going through all the orbs and cracking them open with the prophecies, stolen from this. Bottles roll and spun all around me. He's gonna have to kiss the vampire. Beside me, Kara worked frantically over a low shelf. No, 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 she muttered to herself as she moved her hands over the empty bottles. You two, Count Nightwing called from across the room, get away from there. We ignored him, like we ignored teachers and cops and the rules and smoke weed. We kept pawing through the bottles, working faster, faster, better, faster, stronger, harder.
Two Kanye references.
I love that Kanye, despite desperate to find the full one first, not despite. And then my hand landed on it, like we didn't land on the moon.
That's Stanley Kubrick, dude.
I 100% believe we landed on the moon.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll take it back.
Except for, I don't know if Sandy Hook happened, but that's different. I sucked in a deep breath, like I was vaping hard, when I realized it felt heavier than the others. My hand trembled as I carefully lifted it out from the others. Yes, it definitely felt heavy, like that lid. Yes, it was still sealed shut.
Yes?
I found it! I cried, jumping to my feet, not trying to be subtle around a vampire who wants it. Kara, look, I've got it. I raised the full bottle up to show her, and Count Nightwing grabbed it from my hand.
Thank you, you fucking idiot moron kid, he said.
God, I hope Freddy gets fingered. I've never seen that movie, have you? The Tom Green movie?
I think I couldn't get through it, but I've seen the first, like, 30 minutes of it.
And that's how it was with fucking Avatar.
I didn't like it.
I don't like anything.
Party.
Yeah. Chapter number
25.
With an eager smile, the old vampire raised the bottle and reached to open it. No! I howled. I leaped at him, caught him by surprise. I shoved my shoulder into his chest. He felt light and feathery, like a homosexual, as if he had no bones at all.
Offensive.
He uttered a startled, choking sound. The botter...
I need a drink.
The bottle of vampire breath flew from his hand. I reached out and grabbed it in the air like some sort of ninja, holding it tightly in both hands. I backed toward the shelves. Count Nightwing recovered quickly. He narrowed his eyes at me, and once again, I felt his strange power holding me in place, fucking me.
Wow.
Freddy, you will hand the bottle to me now, he ordered in a soft voice, clearly having seen Star Wars. I didn't move. I couldn't. Hand the bottle to me now, the vampire insisted in a new accent, floating towards me, his bony hand outstretched. You will hand it to me, Freddy. I swallowed hard. I couldn't give him the vampire breath. I knew that Kara and I were doomed if Count Nightwing opened it. But I couldn't move. He had frozen me there. I was helpless, like a real doll. Hand it to me, he insisted. He reached for the bottle. Monkey in the middle! I heard Kara call, which is now actually a racist game and kids don't play it anymore. She seemed far away, and at first, her words didn't make any sense to me. Monkey in the middle, she called again.
Or it promotes bullying nowadays.
Dude, it's everything promotes bullying.
You can't leave the one.
However, if you fucking interrupt me again, I'll fucking break your face, Gaylord. How much are you planning on spending on lunch today?
A couple hundred.
Give me that. Give me your lunch money.
Okay, that's where you're going with it.
Also, will you find some gloves in my house upstairs and I'll cut off the fingers? Let's go to the arcade so I can take your money there.
You should take off my webbed finger at some point.
Yeah.
So it actually gets in my way.
That's life. Nick has a webbed finger just because he wants to star in a Goosebumps book. Monkey in the middle, she called again. This time, I understood. I sucked in a deep breath. It took all my strength to move my arm.
Count Nightwing
swiped at the bottle. Hey, swiper, no swiping. His bony fingertips brushed against it. But I tossed the bottle higher and higher over his shoulder. Kara bobbled it, fumbled it into the air, and then grabbed it.
Lucky.
The catch of the day, she cried. What other catches were there?
Maybe I'll have some fish for lunch.
Oh, I have some fish in the freezer that Connie's dad caught.
It was a catch of the day?
I don't know. He gave it to me. It was very nice of him.
With an angry groan, Count Nightwing spun around, stuck it out, and even white boys had to shout. "Give me that," he rasped. He dove toward Kara. She pulled her arm back and heaved the bottle to me, a low toss which zipped past the old vampire's knees. I caught it at my shoelaces. Count Nightwing whirled back at me, his strange eyes narrowed in fury. "I want that bottle," he snarled. I tossed it high, over his head. "Yoda, please do not scratch the steps." Kara caught it in one hand. I cannot believe he stopped when I said it like that. I really appreciate it. When we babysat for Tyler Brown, Kara and I played monkey in the middle all the time. That little scrimp could never take the ball away from us. We could keep him running back and forth for hours. That's mean. But I knew Count Nightwing would soon run out of patience. There was no way Kara and I could win this game. But what else could we do? The old vampire dove for Kara, his hands outstretched like some sort of poor person, his cape flying. Kara tossed off balance. I stretched for the bottle, but it's sad. Past my open hand. That was like a Come Sail Away reference in my mind that went so poorly and crashed into a shelf. Bottles toppled and broke. Count Nightwing flew to the shelf. He grabbed blindly for the bottles. He probably could have grabbed them more efficiently if he opened up his eyes. But I got there first. I picked up the bottle and tossed it to Kara. "No," Count Nightwing
I think he rasped it, actually.
Good, I'm glad I didn't say raped. "No," Count Nightwing rasped. "Enough!" We hurtled towards Kara. She tossed the bottle to me. A high throw over the vampire's head. Can't he float? I raised my hands to catch it, but to my surprise, Count Nightwing flew straight up and caught the bottle in both hands, just like Dune said, and now Dune looks like an idiot, as always. As he sailed slowly back to the floor, a pleased smile spread over his face. "I win," he said softly, his eyes flashing. "I win. It helps to be able to fly." He raised the bottle in front of him. "No, don't," I begged. His smile grew even wider. He reached out and pulled the top off the bottle. Oh, they popping bottles in that bitch. Oh, yeah.
Monkey.
That funky monkey.
Drink some floaties, pop bottles.
This is going to be a 2-hour Goosebumps. I'm sorry you have to do this your whole day.
I blame you.
Of course you blame me. I read these. God damn it. Chapter number 26. All three of us froze as if we were playing freeze tag with the devil and stared at the open bottle in Count Nightwing's hand.
"No," Kara murmured. "No, please."
A few seconds passed. A few more seconds. You did it again, R.L. Stein.
She's horrible.
A few seconds passed, a few more seconds. He's done that twice in this book, which makes me think it had to be written by someone else, because he's never done that before, because I would have noticed.
No, he does things like that.
Why wouldn't they just say, like, many seconds passed? Also, everything's covered in dust. Alright, anyway. "Nothing is happening," Count Nightwing whispered. His smile faded. He raised the bottle to his face and tilted it to see inside. Beneath the purple cape, his slender shoulders slumped. He sighed, a long, dry sigh. "Empty," he said. "This bottle is empty, too." Kara and I exchanged glances, and the future would hopefully exchange fluids. I suddenly knew what had happened. In my wild scramble to pick up the bottle, I grabbed the wrong one on the shelf. How'd you not know? You said before it was way heavy or whatever. Sure enough, I turned to the shelf and spotted the full bottle right in front of me. "I have it," I cried, not learning my lesson of last time I yelled that I had it. I picked it up carefully from the shelf. "I have it." The old vampire let out a furious growl. Grr. He leaped at me. "Kara, catch it.
I screamed. Oh, just like the chapter two chapters ago. Awesome. I heaved the bottle to her, but Count Nightwing swung his arm, like that video of Earl Sweatshirt that just came out of him decking that fool when it was rad. His hand slapped the bottle in midair. Oh! I gasped as the bottle sailed into the wall. It bounced off, crashed to the floor, and cracked open. And the sour, dark mist poured up into the room. We've lost, I murmured. We're doomed. Doom reads goosebumps. Chapter 27. I tried to hold my breath, but it didn't help. The foul odor of the rising fog seemed to seep into my skin. That was a description of the Holocaust. I really regret making that joke. I feel bad about that, seriously. Fuck, goddammit. Across the room, I saw Kara cup a hand tightly over her nose and mouth. Her eyes grew wide in fear. She waved her other hand frantically, trying to fan the smelly fog away from her fart joke. I choked on it. My eyes started to burn. I closed them, bitches. Felt hot tears seep down my cheeks, as if I had been dumped when I was 15. When I opened my eyes, I couldn't see Kara anymore. Maybe she had her back against a wall, which makes you invisible. We learned that earlier. Mm-hmm. The fog had grown too thick. I could see Count Nightwing's purple cape dark inside the mist. Then it disappeared too. And I was alone. Alone inside a thick, billowing cloud. I dropped to my knees.
The third time.
Covered my face with both hands. I tried not to breathe. I could taste the foul mist on my tongue. How long did I kneel there? Until he was finished. Oh, sorry, I'm not sure. But when I finally opened my burning eyes, the fog was fading. Count Nightwing's purple cape came back into view as the mist lowered itself to the floor, and I saw Kara across the room, shielding her face with one arm. The fog continued to melt away. The room came back into focus, and I realized I was staring at an air hockey game.
What? Are they back in the 90s?
It seems like it. Do you remember at my parents' house there was a shitty air hockey thing?
Yes.
You know I don't like air hockey because I just smash my fingernails and they turn black, but like there was the tiny little air hockey thing, and now I wish I had it just to have the air vent so I could like throw cocktails at people and they'd slide across the bar like in cartoons.
Why aren't more bars equipped with the little holes?
You know what my fucking mom made, which was really cool? My mom took, like, empty, like, pallets, like you have for, like, holding things. My mom is, like, the personification of Pinterest now. And, she made this into this and then painted it. Like, that's from pallets.
What?
Yeah.
This isn't a very good pod, but, wow, that looks great.
That's a cool little project she did. I like that she just encourages me and my dad's drinking. Oh, God. I blinked several times, possibly 182 times. A pool table stood in the center of the room. Pool table? Air hockey? Spuds McKenzie? Kara came running up to me, her dark eyes flashing with excitement. We're back, Freddy! She cried happily. We're back in your basement! Yes! I cheered. I pumped both fists in the air like the Jersey Shore cast. Yes! I staggered across the room and hugged the air hockey game like some sort of retard. Then I kissed the wall. I actually kissed the wall. Isn't there a place you do that in, like, Israel?
The furry wall?
Oh, no, no, I'm thinking of Ireland, the Blarney Stone. That's stupid. I don't want to kiss shit a bunch of fucking hepatitis-having motherfuckers have kissed. We're back! We're back! Kara chanted, jumping up and down. The vampire breath! It brought us back to your house, Freddy! No! I turned to see Count Nightwing toss back his head and a long...
Sorry.
...angry wail. He swirled his cape behind him, then clasped his hands into tight fists. Why did my burp taste like a whippet? No! No!
"This can't be happening," he cried hoarsely. Kara and I huddled together as the vampire advanced on us. "I don't want to be here," he declared. "I must go back. I must find my fangs. Without my fangs, I will not survive. I will perish." He rose up over us. His eyes burned angrily down at us. His dry lips quivered, having never touched chapstick. He stretched out his cape as if to trap us inside of it. "I must go back," he rasped like a raspberry. "Where is the vampire breath? Where is the blue bottle?" My eyes glanced quickly around the room. No sign of that motherfucker. "It didn't come back with us," Kara announced. The old vampire tossed back his head in another angry wail. Then, raising his cape even higher, he swooped down to attack us. Kara and I staggered back against the pool table, which makes him invisible. The vampire moved quickly, wrapping his heavy purple cape around us both like a giant snuggie. We were trapped, nowhere to move. Then suddenly, the cape slid off. Count Nightwing took a step back, his mouth dropped open in surprise. I followed his gaze and saw Mom and Dad hurrying into the basement. "Mom!" I cried. "Dad, look out! He's a vampire! He's a real vampire, Mom."
Holy shit.
I bet his mom doesn't make cool-ass Pinterest projects.
What do you think's going on here?
I don't know, but I gotta get my mom some mason jars because that's what Pinterest is built around.
Fine. Pinterest references.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, I'm going to stop this. Boop, 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 boop. This is chapter number 28, which I was 2 weeks ago, but now I'm 29. Motherfuckers, send me money.
Happy birthday.
Count to Nightwing squinted at my parents, his mouth still open in shock. He locked his stare on my mom. "Cynthia?" he cried. "Cynthia, what are you doing here?" Mom smiled at him.
"Daddy, you finally woke up," she exclaimed. "What a fucking twist!"
Grandma goosebumps, Nightwing. Goosebumps, goosebumps, goosebumps.
Oh my.
Huh?
Kara and I both gasped in shock, as Dune did. I'm into this little twist here. Mom rushed forward and threw her arms around the old vampire. She hugged him for a long time. Too long.
"Daddy, you've been napping down here for at least 100 years, she said. "We didn't know whether to wake you or let you sleep."
Dad came rushing over too, a big smile on his stupid dad face. He rested a hand on my shoulder.
"Did you meet our son, Freddy?"
he asked Count Nightwing.
"This is Freddy, your grandson."
"Grandson? Me? I'm the vampire's grandson? What?"
Count Nightwing stared down at me, shaking his head. I could see he was as confused as I was.
"Cynthia," he said to my mom. "Cynthia, my fangs! I've lost my fangs!"
Mom slid her arm around the vampire's waist.
"Daddy, your fangs aren't lost," she told him. "They're in the glass in the bathroom. Right where you left them."
How the fuck did that kid not notice weird-ass vampire fangs in his bathroom for years?
"Here, over here," Dad said. He led the way to the little bathroom in the corner that we never use.
Well, that explains it. I use every bathroom, dude. When I'm at work, I work alone, and every time I pee, it's close to peeing my pants. Because I'm so lazy. Because all morning I drink water to catch up with the liquor I drink all night.
I see.
It's a bad...
I see, babe.
Okay, anyway. A few seconds later, Count Nightwing stepped out, adjusting the fangs over his gums with both of his thumbs.
"There, that's better," he said. "Now, let's fly out of here. I'm so thirsty. It's been hundreds of years."
Mom and Dad turned to me.
"We'll be home soon," Dad said. "Make yourself a sandwich upstairs, okay? Make one for Kara, too."
Wouldn't he, kill...
Blood sandwich.
Tara to keep the secret? That's what I would do. I stared back at him, unable to get over my shock. But if you and Mom are vampires, am I a vampire too? I asked in a trembling voice. Of course, idiot, Mom replied. But you're way too young to get your fangs, Freddy. First you need a pube. You have to wait at least another 100 years. I wanted to ask a million more questions, but the three of them began to flap their arms up and down, up, up and down and down.
That looks so ridiculous. You've been just flapping
arms. In seconds, they changed into bats and flew out of the basement window.
Wait, the what window?
The basement!
Oh my god.
Jerk. I stared at the window for a while, trying to calm down, trying to slow my racing heart. When I started to feel a little normal, I turned to Kara. Wow, she said, shaking her head. Wow. I don't believe this shit either, I replied softly. She grinned at me. I knew you were weird, Freddy, but I didn't know you were that weird. I just thought you were fat, idiot. I wanted to laugh at that, but I was fat. Oh, sorry. But I was still too shocked to laugh, or cry, or scream, or do anything. I turned away from Kara and continued to continued to count to 20, even though I didn't indicate that I started, trying to get myself together. It isn't easy to find out that you're a vampire. I really think Mom and Dad could have broken the news to me a little better, but I guess they didn't think it was any big deal. I think it's a big deal, Nick.
Huge.
The door to the bathroom stood open. I stepped inside. We never use this bathroom, I muttered. We use the one across the basement. Why didn't you question why there's two bathrooms in your fucking basement? I've never had a basement. My basement's just another family living below me in this complex, but like, I think I'd be like, that's fucking weird that you got two of those things. Whatever.
Across the basement.
Anyway, Kara followed me in. The mirror door to the medicine chest was partly open. She pulled it open the rest of the way. The shelves were jammed with all kinds of jars and bottles because my parents were opiate addicts. Strange medicines and tubes of ointments waiting to be shot up. I saw a green glass bottle on the top shelf. What's that shit? I wondered.
Bad yourself.
I stretched my hand up to pull it down, but Kara grabbed it first. Give it back, I cried. I shoved her. She shoved me back. She turned the glass bottle in her hand and read the name on the label to me. Oxycontin. Just kidding. Werewolf sweat.
What?
Kara, put it back, I ordered. No, really, put it back. Leave it alone. Kara opened it. Don't. She teased me, grinning. She pretended to pull the top off, like I had hoped she would actually pull her top off. No! I cried. I swiped at it, tried to pull it from her hand, but I missed and tugged the top off instead. Whoa! Kara cried out as yellow liquid squirted over the both of us. I rolled my eyes. Now what? I cried. Now what do you think's gonna happen? Growl, Kara replied. The end. Because that bitch was a vampire. Or no, werewolf. Damn it. Whatever.
Wow.
Well, Nick, come here. Scrooge up over here.
R.L. Stein does it again.
Scrooge up.
Good book.
Good book.
Good pod.
You're going through an existential crisis right now.
Yeah, let's talk more about it.
No, you spent years getting your degree to be a court reporter, and then you're like, that's me typing with your thing.
Yeah.
And then you decided,
and
fuck it.
I got it, and I was like, this sucks. So now I'm floating around and soaking up all the live goosebumps that I can possibly partake in.
But the reality is everything sucks.
Yes.
It's not like there's any job. That, like, even the raddest job in the world, which I think would be, like, tequila and hammock tester, would eventually get boring very quickly. True. You know?
You're
because
right.
It's work. Work's work. But anyway, so you're doing construction now.
Yes, for a couple of months.
Are you getting swole? You got a six pack?
You tell me.
I don't know. He has stitches on his hand right now. It look like a butthole.
Oh, yeah. So far I've injured myself, but...
And I don't know. I'm just trying to talk to you because I asked you to do the ending and you said, no, I'm not going to do that.
You know, we can do an R.L. Stein related ending.
Okay.
Talking about how spooky
that movie's coming out. We're gonna be spooky. Are we really going to Dave and Buster's after this?
Are you
driving? Because I'm so drunk.
Yeah, we're gonna go somewhere.
Okay, I'm down to go do whatever with you, or we can walk over that complex that has like OGs and islands and shit like that, and get way drunk.
All this spookiness is making me hungry.
But we can do whatever you want. I gotta walk Franklin first, right, Papa? He's asleep because I turned on his electric blanket. Or he's dead. Breathe. Okay, he breathed. Alright, we'll figure out what we're going to do. And I'll edit this at work, hopefully, tomorrow. Alright, I appreciate you coming. We had fun last time. We'll just keep getting weird. Anyway, just do it.
This is Nick with Dune on DRG. We got a few more books, and then Dune might go out on top and Kurt Cobain himself.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, be sure to stay spooky, bitches.
Thank you.